with that, we will move into the BLS adjustment in that conversation.
Okay, thank you. So, Jake Chatters. I'm going to walk through, starting on page 15, action item 1B, the cost of labor adjustment. This is going to be about a 3 or 4 step process. So initially, I'll walk through this narrative and hopefully not just read it to you. And then once we're done with that, walk through two separate spreadsheets that hopefully will reinforce the very general narrative that I'm giving, because sometimes it's easier to see the numbers. I would say three big parking lot items. There were many parking lot items, but there were three big ones when the initial model was adopted by the council in April. One of them was what we're going to talk about here, which is the cost of labor adjustment. Another was the unique factors process, which was mentioned. And then the third was the cluster one small court assessment. I don't know what we want to call it, but taking a look at the smallest courts and seeing if there's a base level of funding that is needed for those courts because they were reacting strangely within the model. So those three were the main ones. We've addressed the special factors. That'll be the next item for the subcommittee. And then the local court, the cluster one court issue is still probably next on that list. But for the BLS number, just as a reminder, the way that it worked in the initial model as approved was that it took each one of our courts and looked at what the salaries were in our individual court, and then compared that to essentially a predicted salary number using the Bureau of Labor Statistics and a regression model. And so a lot of the questions that we got as it came through the process was, well, how exactly was that calculated, and how do I recreate that formula, and how do I make sure that that number matches what I would expect it to match? And so pretty quickly we realized that, well, we need to look at this again. There were some other concerns raised about the mix of industries that were included in that initial analysis. And the subcommittee intended that that adjustment occur only on salaries, but we did determine that the initial factor that was used in those spreadsheets back in April also included benefits, which wasn't our intent. So the group quickly got together to look at that issue because it can have a substantial impact on each one of our underlying needs. So I'm going to sort of work through slowly this memo that's listed. In May, the funding subcommittee formed another smaller group to really dive into the issue. We very quickly confirmed that there was no reason to leave BLS as our base metric. We also did come to the conclusion that the model that was used before was more complicated than we needed it to be. And the best way I can explain that is you couldn't just use Excel to figure out what the number was supposed to be. You actually had to do some statistical modeling to make it work. And so that was difficult, and we decided it would be better for all of us if we could each see the formulas themselves and be able to recreate them on our own. We did also determine that the BLS adjustment used too broad of a sample of industries. Leah will jump in if I forget the full broad spectrum, but in the end, we decided to use just public administration, which I do want to thank Mary Francis from Siskiyou. She provided a very nice analysis of what was available from the BLS at one of our smaller meetings of courts, really focused the issue for us and allowed us to focus in on public administration as one area that all but one county in California had a factor from the BLS data. Anything I missed there, Leah? Okay. So what does it look like now, and what are we recommending? So moving on now to page 16. Instead of calculating an average salary in each court and then increasing it or decreasing it based on what someone would expect your salary to be, we went the opposite direction. So instead, we're establishing a base dollar amount, and what we're calling it is the unadjusted base, that would be applied to each FTE as estimated by the resource allocation study. And what that does is it creates an average dollar amount that will be applied to each FTE, and then that dollar amount gets adjusted by the BLS factor for the county. And so each of us, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, looks at industries in our county, in this case public administration, and identifies what the average is for salary for public administration, and then you can compare that to what the state average is for public administration, and that gives you a factor. So as an example, for Placer County, our factor is 1.14, so if the salary in public administration is $1,000 on average, then ours would be $1,140 in Placer County. One thing we want to mention, just like the FTE out of the RAS model does not say that's how many that you would see a court and they would have exactly that number of FTEs, just the same here. This is an unallocated base amount that is starts from salary, but we want to be clear that it's not what you would expect to see as an individual court salary. And the reason for that is that to identify it, we did the following. We looked at each court's filled positions for those positions that are captured within the workload model, averaged for each court what that amount is, and then averaged all courts together. So my court is the same as LA, as the same as Orange. So Alpine, everyone is basically the same weight in averaging that factor. And that gets us a number we'll use later. Does that make sense so far? So that gives you a base number. And we did that average of the averages because BLS also does an average of the averages, right? So when it averages that state salary, to give us a comparison, it averages every county together. So we're doing the same thing to try and keep those two methodologies matched up. With me so far? Okay. So step one, we create a dollar amount that we're going to apply to each FTE, which is done, as I just said, create an average for each court and then average those averages. Then, as you'll see in the spreadsheets, we take that number and multiply it by what the number of FTEs is needed for that court based on the RAS model. We then, a new addition was we then add in the court executive salary based on the cluster average. So we don't use the actual salary, we used an average by cluster size, so cluster 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then we add in the BLS adjustment. And so before, the number was a percentage, right? So it might have been a plus percentage or minus percentage, and it increased or decreased your number. Now what it does is it takes this number and it applies a factor of 1 to it. And so if it's below 1, it brings the number down. If it's above 1, it brings the number up a little bit. And again, that is tied solely to Public Administration Program 92. We've included in the report here some information on how you can access that data off of the BLS website. There is one court that has no data, or one county that has no data. I know the Austin Court Research from the AOC did inquire with BLS why that is, and it has to do with some of their rules on keeping the level confidential at some level. So if there's too small of a sample, they don't report it because they don't want it to be tied to a single agency. So for that court, we gave them a factor of 1, so they would just be equal to the average for the state. The second concern that came up in the original calculation is whether or not state employees were included. The subcommittee did decide that a link to local government is who we most generally compete with, but we did understand the concerns that were expressed by others, and so we have a second piece that's added in here. And we do look at what, according to the BLS, is the government employment in the county. So they do provide numbers on how many local government employees versus state employees are employed in that county. And so now what we're doing is looking at one of two things. In the event that the employment, according to BLS, is over 50% state employment in a county, then we use the public administration for local and state government as that court's adjuster. If government employment in that county is less than 50% state employment, then we use only local government. So there's two separate factors, and I'll show you how that looks. So then the last step is just to multiply those numbers together. So number of FTEs times the statewide unallocated base number times your BLS factor, and that provides the total benefit pre-benefits workload allocation need. So I'll show you on the big spreadsheets what this replaces, but it essentially takes just some early components out of the model. Again, the last note here is that this isn't intended for anyone to identify here's what a salary would be in a court, because this averages all amounts from attorneys and our clerks and our managers. You wouldn't want to tie it to a single individual. So that's the narrative. Any questions before I walk through the spreadsheets? Okay. So I'm going to skip ahead then all the way to page 24. So this table is showing for each court whether or not the court's local-only public administration factor was used, or if the court received the factor that included state employment. So just to walk you through it here, and all the data comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics information. So I'll use Alameda just because it's the first one on the line. We do list here, according to BLS, what they list as local government employment. So that's, in that case, 18,010. State government employment is just under 3,400. So total government employment is around, not including federal government, is about 21,000. And so for them, 84% is local government, 16% for state. So you can see the next column just identifies whether state employment is more than 50%. In their case, it's no. We then do show for each court what their BLS factor would be for local versus state and local. And so that's local only is 1.42 for Alameda. And then on the far right, it then shows what BLS factor is then used for each court based on this analysis. So one of the questions that came up is, well, why not, instead of using a threshold that is either A or B, so it's either local or it's state and local, why not use a factor? So for Alameda, have it be 1.42 times 84%, you know, plus 1.27 times 16%. And the reason not to do that is that when BLS does their calculation, they're already doing those averages when they create that mix of state and local. And so we'd then be doing it twice. So that's the reason why we chose not to do that. Any questions on this chart? Okay. So then I'm going to move on to what we used to call the giant spreadsheet, right? So just want to make sure we're okay before I do that. I'm going to touch very briefly on page 25 and 26. I'm not going to dwell on it very long, but you may remember when we presented before, when we look at the workload allocation funding model, we don't look at all functions the court performs, right? It's only those things that are estimated in the workload model. So we have to modify our base funding to add things in that are included in the model and take things out that aren't included in the model. So this table is just there so you can see how those numbers move and what we end up comparing a court to. That column on the far right, that column 12, to steal one of Sherry Carter's statements from earlier, remember that number because we're going to come back to it, but that's just there for your background. Okay, moving on to page 27, table 3E. So here's the big spreadsheet. Are you with me so far? Okay, columns A, B, and C are unchanged from what everybody saw in April. Those are the same numbers based on the same filing years as existed previously. What we modified are columns D through H. They didn't have the same numbers before. I can't remember how many columns we had. But to follow through what I just walked you through, column D multiplies the number of F total RAS FTE estimates in column C, minus 1 for the court executive officer, and multiplies it by that statewide unallocated base number, which is 55,992. So for Alameda, for example, that's just under 41 million. Column E then puts in the CEO's cluster average salary number. And column F then adds D plus E. And that gives you a total unadjusted base. Column G then is that BLS factor that I showed you on that last table for each court as it's been identified. And then column H just multiplies column F times column G. The balance from there on out, the balance of the spreadsheet is identical to the way it was when we presented in April. The rest of the formulas are the same. With the exception of linking them to the right columns. And the rest of the math plays out the same direction. So if we want to walk through that again, I can walk through, you know, the balance of that computation, or if everyone feels like they're comfortable with the way that was presented previously, we can save the time.
Anybody want him to walk through that again? Yes. Can you walk through it again?
Okay. All right. So then moving on to columns I1 and I2, those relate to salary-driven benefits. So salary-driven benefits are things like retirement, Social Security, taxes, et cetera. Then there's next to that is the average actual non-salary-driven benefits per FTE, so health insurance, for example. So there's a difference there for Program 10 versus Program 90. So Program 10 are operations staff, Program 90 administrative staff. Those are the actuals that are experienced by each court since benefits are different by court. Okay, so then we're going to flip on down to page 29 or 30, depending on which court you want to look at. We then go to column K, which looks like an ugly formula, but may not be as bad as it looks. So that actually looks at your benefits need for your salary-driven benefits in column K. Column L looks at your benefits needed, so that multiplies that benefits number times the I'm sorry. Let me back up. Column K does your salary and non-salary driven benefits all in one column. So that's why you've got the addition in the middle there. And column L does the same, but for program 90. So it's a multiplies your FTE need times the base, times the adjustment, times your retirement factor. Does that make sense? Okay. And then M adds them together. N puts in the factor for operating expenses, which is based on your cluster and the total number of FTEs that are estimated. Column O removes out AB 1058, or child support and family law facilitator costs, because they're funded through a different method. And that leaves you with column P, which is what the model estimates each court needs in order to deal with the workload that is estimated within the model. So that's the total need that we would need state, you know, by court and then statewide. Column Q shows each court's proportion of that total number of need. Column Q1 is each court's proportion excluding cluster one courts. So since we aren't using the 90-10 rebalancing with cluster one courts until we can further look into the small court issue, we take them out. So we need to be able to show what each course percentage is without cluster one. And then to the right, that column R is the trial court funding to be compared to your funding need. That's that number I said. Remember, I wasn't going to walk through that long spreadsheet, but remember that column. So that's where that number comes from if you want to research back to it. Column S is then your percentage of that total. So generally, we refer to this one as your historic share, which is accurate. I mean, we've adjusted it. It's not going to be the same in every spreadsheet because not all the dollars are the same, but it's under the same methodology of not using workload as the basis. And that's S. And then S1 is, again, just removing cluster 1 courts to show proportions without cluster 1 courts included. Any questions? So I believe our first request, or recommendation, I suppose, would be to adopt the new Bureau of Labor Statistics cost of labor formula as presented. The group has had a number of debates on the issue and tried to work through as best we could. We do believe it's a much clearer model than it was before, that it's something that each one of us can replicate and validate that the numbers are accurate. So we'd be seeking approval to modify the model to include.
Sherry Carter.
I was just going to say I would make the motion that we approve it.
Second.
The second was Judge John Fitton. Any discussion on this? Sure. Can you use your microphone for me?
Yes.
Thank you. This is Judge Masanaga.
This is Judge Masanaga from Siskiyou County. Because there was that, let's say, modification from how the BLS is used from the April presentation, and now at least it's easier to follow, I think, through the CEOs that have done the calculations, that it's at least a little easier to follow through how you get your number. My question is in terms of ongoing parking lot issues. I know there was the issue of the state employees versus local and some of the local mix, whether or not the BLS, I mean, whether or not there would be further discussion about that at any time, or if what is now seen is that the BLS, based on public administration in the formula that has been presented today, would be sort of a item that would be fixed.
I think the answer is that this is the recommendation for today, that we don't anticipate adjusting it, but the model, as we know, requires ongoing assessment. So if it's proven in after the model is used that something's not working, we will always come back to it. But I think this would essentially end our discussion about the cost of labor adjustment at this time.
Thank you.
Yes, Judge Good.
I have a question. It looks to me as if most of the counties in which the state government employment exceeds the local government employment, with the exception of Sacramento, are counties that have state prisons. So is the theory behind this that the courts are competing for employment with those who staff the prisons? Is that what the notion is here? And is that real?
I think that is the concern that was raised by the courts initially when we were comparing only the local government, that they were competing with state prisons or other state government agencies. We didn't poll each of the courts to see which ones they felt like they were competing with, but, Judge, I think you're correct. I mean, a lot of it is state prison competition, so that's why we did include it. And I should clarify, too, it is where, because this was a question that I asked as a suburb of Sacramento in many cases, whether or not it's where the person lives or whether they're employed, and it is where the employment occurs. So that's just for those that are interested. The way they do the math is where you're employed, not where your residence is.
Alan?
Yep. Alan Carlson, Orange County. I think also we use the public administration set of data, which does not include public protection, so we're not including firemen and we're not including prison guards, I believe. That
no, they are in there.
They are in there? Okay.
Any other thoughts? All in favor of the recommendation?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The matter is approved. Thank you.